You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Search for Significance by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Y'all who came to church two Sundays in a row, just wiggle your toe at me. Just wiggle your toe at me. I ain't used to seeing y'all two Sundays in a row, but I want to let you know it does my heart good. Y'all know who you are. Y'all know who you are. I see everything. I just want to let you, I'm really glad to see you two Sundays in a row. What you talking about? Glory to God. Galatians the 6th chapter and verse 4. Paul writes to the church of Galatia and says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The Lord highlighted the scripture to me about 3 years ago, and I've just been meditating on it, haven't preached on it, haven't heard anybody else preach about it. But every time I would hear about somebody being jealous of somebody, every time I hear about somebody hitting on somebody, the Lord would bring the scripture back to my mind. Let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That verse in the New Living Translation says, pay careful attention to your own work. I don't know why. It just seemed like there's a translation of this that sounds like mind your own business. Pay attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. And then that same verse from the Amplified Version, it says, but let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. And I want to start this series today entitled The Search for Significance. The Search for Significance. Many people today are searching for significance, and they don't even know that that's what it is. But you need to understand, they have these phones, they have programmed it by design to be addictive. Seriously, that's not theory. They've come out and talked about it, how they have programmed. And so people, you start getting an adrenaline rush and a mental high from how many people like your statement, like your picture. And so now, as a result of social media, people are measuring their significance or that their value based upon how many likes they got, how many retweets they got, how many hearts they got, how many thumbs up they got, how many smiley faces they got. Okay? And then there's some people who just like to start drama on social media, and they get validation for their drama by somebody else jumping in and saying, yep, same thing happened to me. And I told them, and you all in the Kool-Aid don't even know the flavor. Somebody, I mean, we had to try to correct people in our church. People get offended in the church and start posting about it on social media. You don't even know what they're talking about. And they're talking about your pastor, and you jump in there talking about, yep, that's right, because... And you don't even realize you're signing off on their rebellion. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, before you jump involved in stuff, sometimes people just need to work out their own things. And you know, there was a time when people would work out their own thoughts by themselves and come to themselves. Now they put their craziness out on social media to see who agrees with them. And so there's this big search for significance now that unfortunately is being measured by social media. And I believe everyone has a certain desire for significance on some level. It's just a matter of where you find it at. Nobody wants to feel like you don't matter. Nobody wants to feel like nobody cares about you. No one wants to feel like they're unappreciated. Okay, and I'm jumping ahead of myself because I didn't get to it in first service. The truth of the matter, this first should take place in our families. That's where it should happen. But many of us, including myself, didn't come from the most functional families. Oh, let's just put it out there, I'm being nice. We came from dysfunctional families where the only comment that ever was made to us was a negative one. Okay? I had to learn how to be complimentary because I wasn't raised with compliments. I had to learn how to hug my wife and hug my children. In the early days, she didn't even bother no more. She said, come on, put your arms around me, hug me. Now, after 32 years, she said, it is what it is. You're either going to hug me, I don't know. I'll hug myself, dog. Come on. The truth of the matter, at some point, you got to learn how to hug yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, you better hug. Come on, put your head right and say, I love me some me. I had to learn how to be complimentary. I had to learn how to, you know, and to this day, I have to catch myself. And I'm even more conscious of it now because I have people in my family who wasn't raised with me. And as a result of not being raised with me, they don't understand my humor. It's been a learning experience. Okay? Particularly girls. Okay? And see, my daughter, because she was raised by me, she to this day, and I had to apologize to her, she's by her own admission, she got dude tendencies. She realized she got dude tendencies. In dating guys, they told you got dude tendencies. Because she ain't gonna cry on you. You're gonna leave, fine, deuces, I'm out too. She ain't gonna do that. And I discovered that girls got an octave that boys don't have. Okay? Girls got this screaming thing that they do. They get mad. Oh, Sookie, oh no. We ain't having this up in here. And I went to her room and I spanked her. I said, don't you ever scream like that in this house. I told her, get your pillow. I said, scream. Put your head in the bed. I said, scream. She screamed through. I said, whenever you feel like screaming, come in this room and scream in this pillow. But we ain't having that up in this house. And we didn't have it ever since. She said to this day, she's screaming her pillow. Okay? And, the truth of we should be getting this validation. We should be getting encouragement. We need to know that you're important. Our parents should make us know that we are important. Our parents should let us know you is kind, you is smart, and you is important. Our parents should let us know that. Now, come on now. And some of us, we had to get that elsewhere. I watched an interview with, if y'all have Netflix, they're really interesting to watch. You know, David Letterman is doing these interviews with people, and he did a one-on-one with Jay-Z. And Jay-Z was doing an interview with David Letterman, and he explained that in his neighborhood, same kind of neighborhood I came from, okay, particularly Friday, he said, we were smart with street intelligence. He said, for example, right now, he said, sitting in his room, I know who came in here. He said, I know who came in here, who's over there, who potentially carrying. He said, from the streets, train me with that. He said, but didn't train me to have emotional intelligence. He said, we didn't come from parents who had emotional intelligence. They didn't know how to articulate love to us. And he said, and so these are things that now you become a parent, you got to learn. In other words, he's talking about being raised with dysfunction. And so we should leave our families knowing I'm important. I can conquer anything. You know, listen, nobody else loves me. I got a mother who loves me, father loves me. I got brothers and sisters who love me, who got my back. That's how our family should be. And many of us, we didn't come from that. And those of us who are still raising children, and we need to understand that's our job, to give our children validation and a sense of importance and a sense of significance and a sense that you matter to, if nobody else, you are important to us and we love you. And you never have to leave here looking for love. All you got to do is come back home. Amen. I wanted to raise my daughter in a way that no sugar daddy could ever be attracted to a sugar daddy because she got a real daddy. Amen. Amen. And that's because people are searching for significance. And even in the scriptures, Many people were searching for significance. Adam and Eve were created with significance. Everybody say, I was created with significance. The Bible tells us in Genesis, the first chapter, in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That means they were significant. God created them with significance. Come on, if you like God, you're significant. If you realize you were created in the image of God, you are significant, and you got to know that whether anybody else even knows that. But then Satan comes along and he deceives them because he was subtle. Listen, if you don't know that you are significant, you can easily be deceived by the devil. Searching for what you already are. Searching for what you already have. And so in Genesis 3, we see how the serpent beguiled or deceived specifically the woman. And the Bible says in Genesis, the third chapter, how God said, you shall not eat of the tree. The woman said, we can eat every tree except of the fruit of the garden, except that which is in the midst of the garden. When you eat of that, you shall, if you touch it, you're going to die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. Watch this. If she would just have recognized their own significance already, why do I need to be like gods, little g, when I'm already like God, big G? And so you're going after things, trying to dominate, and God's all created you with dominion. Let me say that. You're going after things, trying to dominate, not knowing God has already created you with dominion. So you can't be and do what unless you first know you are. Let me say that again. You can't be and do unless you first know that you are. So Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit because Satan convinced them that they would feel more significant. Cain felt insignificant after God received Abel's sacrifice, which was the firstling, the first and the best, principle of the first fruit. And he didn't receive Cain's offering because he just gave God something. And so he felt insignificant. And all if he just had did what he should have done, given God his best, he would have also have been received of God. But he felt insignificant after Abel's gift to God was accepted. Joseph's brothers felt insignificant after their father, I'm going to use a word from the 70s, after their father gave Joseph a psychedelic coat. Some of you have no clue what psychedelic means. Psychedelic was a 70s word and it meant many colors. And because they didn't have the coat that their brother had, they felt insignificant. The men of Gerar, after God tells Isaac, sow in this land, stay here. And God blessed him and increased him. He became very great. One translation says he got rich and became richer until he became very rich. Say that. Say, I'll be rich and become richer until I'm very rich. And when he did that, the men of Gerar were jealous of him. They felt insignificant to him. And they tried to clog up his wells. And then, but he kept on digging and God kept making room for him. Can I tell you something? You trying to make somebody else insignificant does not make you significant. Oh, you got to understand it. You hating on somebody don't make them insignificant. It just shows them how insignificant you believe you already are. Y'all didn't catch that. Saul felt insignificant after David killed Goliath. And then the women started singing about David, going through the streets with timbrels and tambourines and chanting. Saul has killed his thousand. Saul has killed his thousand. But David killed 10,000. But David killed 10,000. Oh, Saul's all sooky now. Well, he's gonna take the kingdom from me. Felt insignificant, watch this, because he didn't know who he already was. Insignificant, feeling insignificant comes from not knowing who you already are and what you already have. So this search for significance is rooted in not knowing who you are, what you're called to do, but even more so, it comes from not knowing your value. The opposite of knowing your significance and value is low self-esteem. Everybody say, I am somebody. And if you don't know you're somebody, you'll go searching trying to be somebody. Man, that's good right there. I said, if you don't know you are somebody, you're going to search trying to be somebody. And watch this. And because you're trying to be somebody, you'll end up being somebody else. And can I tell you this? God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. God wants to anoint you. God wants to increase you. He cannot bless, use, promote somebody you're trying to be. He wants to bless you. So you got to show up. All of us so busy trying to be somebody else. I told y'all about the woman. She getting ready to go into plastic surgery. And so she prayed and asked the Lord. She said, Lord, now I'm getting ready to go have this surgery. And they're going to do a lot of cutting on me and stuff. And God, I just ask you that you just keep me when I go through this surgery. Keep me and protect me from hurt, harm, and danger. Let there be no residuals from this surgery. And she went in, boy, and she wanted to get everything done at one time. She got her eye lifted. She got a new nose job. Got her lips puffed out. She added some butt tissue. Okay? She had some liposuction. She had a hips curve. Got the corns taken off her toes. The bunions taken off the side. Was there in the hospital. Was there for about a week recovering. And thank God for keeping her. And then walked out the hospital. Going to a car. And got run over by a Mack truck. Lord Jesus died with the heaven. She said, God, I don't believe this. I pray and I ask you to keep me. And to protect me. How you let me get hit by Mack truck? The Lord said, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize you. I didn't know that was you. God wants to bless you, keep you, promote you, increase you, protect you. Not who you're trying to be. You have to understand. Everybody say, I have significance. Now, Jesus taught in Luke the 10th chapter, verse 27. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Come read the next part with me. And thy neighbor as thyself. So a prerequisite for me loving you, I got to first love myself. Oh, come on now. See, if you don't love yourself, you're going to have a hard time loving people. Amen. There's a certain esteem, love, significance that you already have to know and be confident about yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So watch it. So some people, they hate on others because they hate themselves. They dislike others because they dislike themselves. They're down on others because they're down on themselves. You have to have a certain esteem and a love for yourself before you can love somebody else. Romans, the 12th chapter. In verse 3, Paul says this. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice he said, I'm telling you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He did not say you're not supposed to think highly of yourself. He said, don't think more highly. In other words, don't think you're all that, but recognize I'm some of that. Look, somebody say, I'm some of that. I may not be all that, but I'm some of that. Glory to God. Just don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Recognize, no, I'm somebody. I'm significant. I have something to contribute. I have anointing. I have value. Even if other folk don't know it, I know it myself. The scripture says this. He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't forget that other part. He said, that I know well. If I don't know anything else, I know that right well. If anybody else, nobody else may know it, but I know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I keep telling y'all, it's something. You got to admire the people. You got to admire the people who most people would think they're unattractive, but they get on these shows. They go on the show just as proud, and they switch it. And they just, you know, and folks will look and they say, don't be hating on me because you don't have all that. I don't care what you say. It's just something, man, I just admire their confidence. In other words, you ain't going to make me think that I'm ugly. I don't care what y'all say. I know right well I look good. And if you don't understand this, you're going to suffer from what is known as low self-esteem. And low self-esteem, simply stated, is the inability to feel good about yourself. Low self-esteem is characterized by feelings of inadequacy, worthlessness, lack of self-confidence. My Aunt Irene, I did her homegoing. I'm the family eulogist. And me and Pastor Wade, who comes to our conference, he's the singer for the family. So we the duo. And my aunt, Irene, she went to be with the Lord, well, went on a couple years ago. She transitioned. There ain't no sense lying about everybody. Some people you don't know. So you just say they transitioned, they went on. So she went on a couple years ago, and I won't say my own Irene. Oh, when I was a little boy, I used to stay with her in the Bronx, New York, in the summer on University Avenue. And so, you know, whenever she I would get in trouble, and she would threaten she gonna spank me or beat me, and I'd try to manipulate her. I said, and it worked for a little while. I said, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, and everybody trying to hurt me. And I said, do this thing, y'all. I used to do this thing. I used to put spit on my fingers and put water down. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. And everybody, it worked for a while. And then she started realizing I'm manipulating her. She said, that's right. I don't care nothing about you. And I'm going to hurt you. You keep playing that low self-esteem stuff, and folk gonna rehearse it for you. I ain't nobody. That's right, you ain't nobody. Low self-esteem. People with low self-esteem, they feel inferior. They just simply don't feel good about themselves. It's wondering why other people have so much more talent and ability than you do. It's feeling incredibly unattractive. It's disliking everything about yourself and wishing constantly that you could be someone else. Consequently, there's a search for significance. Trying to become significant. Trying to feel good about yourselves, and you think it's going to happen by other people recognizing you. What are some symptoms of this search for significance? The first thing, as I said, is a desire to be recognized by others. On some level, it's a desire to be famous. Okay? I said something to Pastor Marcia a couple weeks ago. I don't know. She had something on, and I said I didn't like it or something. She said, why you hating on me? Why can't I be great? Just let me be great. Okay? Don't be trying to hinder my greatness. Look, somebody say, don't hinder my greatness. Don't hinder my greatness. A lot of us, we have this desire to be great, but watch this. You got to recognize your greatness before anybody tells you you're great.
Social media has created platforms for people to express themselves and give highlights of their lives. It has also created internet sensations that make people appear bigger than who they really are. Dr. Herbert Bailey reminds us that in our quest to be relevant, we can never become self-centered if we're going to make an impact for the kingdom of God. Order this powerful series today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Search for Significance.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.